Chaz and AJ in the morning, 99.1 PLR, 95.9 The Fox. You know, the phone lines are always open for you. Yep. This is our electronic town hall meeting. This is how we can all get together and share stories and information without infecting one another.
Yeah, keep 6 feet distance.
Stay away from that speaker.
Yep.
1-877-764-2535. 1-877-764-2535. I was chatting with my old buddy Kevin from McDermott Chevrolet and Lexus yesterday.
Yeah.
And I was like, what's going on in your world? And he had this story. I said, you have to tell this on the air.
Oh, cool.
Hey, good morning, brother.
Good morning. How you doing, guys? Morning.
Good. Good, good, good. So run through this.
So it's one of those, the hospitals. So my wife, you guys know my wife and how she's in medical, just like Jennifer. And doing anesthesia, once these people all in anesthesia found out, they're going to end up being the ones intubating all these COVID patients. The first thing is how to protect themselves, and there really wasn't the equipment to protect during the intubation process. There's a Taiwanese doctor who came up with this design for these aerosol boxes. And what they do is they go over their plastic boxes, basically over the heads of patients while they intubate, have a couple holes to get the intubation done. But that plastic border protects the doctor, the anesthesia provider, whoever's doing the intubation from any speed, blowback from the patient.
Yeah, that's the most dangerous time, I think, when they're intubating, because there's just germs are everywhere. So they put the box over the patient's head.
It goes over the patient's head. So we talk about the protective equipment for the provider themselves, but in this case, it almost puts the protection over the patient in order to protect the provider.
That's smart, because you can have multiple people in the room, and they're all protected.
Exactly. So this design came from Taiwan, this one doctor who decided not to patent it and just put the design online for everyone in the world to use during this time.
See, the right reason.
That's a great person.
It's a good person, yeah.
Right. So we start out with one great person across the world, and people all over the world that picked up on this. And so my wife, thinking about her coworkers and herself and protecting everyone, she brought this idea to, she saw this idea and thought, how do I get these made? Who do I go to? Who can help? And first person thought of was actually my uncle, who owns Retina Systems in Seymour. And he took the design and took it from a four-piece box to a two-piece box by bending the plastic instead of welding plastic on all these joints, which obviously makes it a little more efficient, makes it safer. The design worked. We think works perfect. He then went to Modern Plastics and talked to them because he thinks they can build these quicker than he'd be able to. That's not exactly what he does, but he funded the entire project, went to Modern Plastics, and they've come up with these boxes. And then the next step is Heather's thinking, how do I let people know these are available and how do we get them to hospitals? There's an anesthesia forum that she's on, and she posted it and immediately got a huge response.
Really?
All the hospitals in Connecticut were reaching out to her about these boxes, and they should be done by tomorrow.
How many?
We have 24 of them in the initial build for tomorrow, and they're going to 10 different hospitals around Connecticut. They're starting out. We're going to go to Norwalk, I think is the biggest need of these right now, Stanford. They're going to go to Yale, UConn, Griffin, and on and on. There's 10 different hospitals that will receive boxes tomorrow, and once that happens, we'll see what the demand is for more. We'll keep building them as many as are needed.
How fast can he build them?
I think it took about 4 days to do 24. That's the first run, right?
And he could retool and set up probably for more.
I'm sure once he's set up now, it's probably quicker, and we'll get once these are out, we'll know more about how many more are needed. But that's what I'll be doing for the weekend. I'll be picking these up and driving around from hospital to hospital and dropping these off.
So you're taking
luckily with McDermott with Chevrolet, we have these vans that'll fit all these. Boxes.
Right.
They're about 30 by 30, so they take up some space, and we'll get them out there. I mean, these hospitals are waiting on them, expecting them, and excited about them.
This is pretty remarkable.
That's awesome.
Who found this Taiwanese who came up with this? Was it Heather just clicking around?
Yeah, I think once once they realize that they don't have the proper protection, the way this disease is so contagious, and during the intubation time, it's such a dangerous time for the heavy load, every viral load is going to be in your face. She started looking at different equipment and searching online for different masks. And first you think of protecting yourself as far as masks and goggles and gloves, obviously all the different things you can wear. And these masks have been so hard to get and started hard to come by.
Yeah.
This somehow she stumbled across this box from this doctor in Taiwan. And once she got it, she got excited about it, but didn't know what to do with it. And then that's where Retina Systems came in and really jumped on it and said, we can do this. And he funded the whole project. So he's donating all of these to all the hospitals in the state.
Wow.
That's amazing.
We only have about 150,000 respiratory therapists in the country and
really
people who can intubate people, which is what your wife does. She's an anesthesiologist, right?
Right. She's a nurse anesthetist, which
okay.
can do the same thing, but yeah.
Right. And then and the respiratory therapist. And if these people get sick, they can't intubate people.
Exactly, yeah.
And that's what's bringing people back and keeping them alive.
Yeah.
This, what a great deal this is. This seems like this could spread like wildfire.
I hope it does.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a great idea. And we're, you know, it all started with the one doctor in Taiwan who didn't look the profit off it and wanted everybody safe.
And then your uncle making it a 2-piece box instead of a 4-piece box. And then Modern Plastic, and then McDermott Delivering. I love this story.
That's awesome.
We got to get this out to the media. Like, people need to know this.
Yeah, really.
You know what might happen? You might get overrun with orders.
It might happen.
Yeah.
I'm wondering how many each hospital really needs. And right now we're getting, it's 2 to 3 to each of these hospitals based on what they've asked for. But I think a lot of them are saying, let's get started and get us something and we'll see. And they're probably going to find they need more.
Yeah.
Now, have the boxes been tested? I'm guessing this the person who invented them tested them.
Yeah, they're being used around the world in different areas. And there's a few different places in the United States that are kind of doing the same thing that have worked this design and made their own version. So there's probably 4 or 5 different places in the country that I know of that are using something similar. The fact that we moved this from its 4-piece to a 2-piece might make it hopefully the best one out there.
So this, because the gear is hard to get now, the masks and the gowns and all the stuff that folks have to wear. So this is going to relieve that pressure for the people who are most at risk.
Exactly, yeah.
With the COVID-19 patients.
Right. It's going to help.
Right. And I think this actually works better than anything you can put on yourself because there's always a chance.
Because it's still
small to get through.
Yeah. Right. Because then it's in the room and it's on your gown and now the gown leaves the room and you get that whole thing. It's like bringing a pizza box in. Like, all right, where is it?
Yeah.
You know?
Exactly.
So this keeps it in the room.
Contains it.
Right. That's unreal. That's
wild.
Unreal. All right. Is there, there's not a story on this yet, right? So we can't link it, post it.
No, really. This is the first we've talked about it is to you guys.
All right. What can we post where if people are interested, they can get more information? Have we set anything up like that yet?
Well, we really haven't done anything like that, but I guess you can use my email address, which you can grab pretty easily, and I can take it from there.
What is that email?
Well, you're going to have to spell this online, but ksympathy@mcdermottauto.net.
Okay. All right, we'll do that. And then, I have a feeling that the media is going to want this story as well. Then
yep.
Hospitals are going to want to contact you, and this could be tremendous.
Yep,
so.
I hear you.
All right, Kevin, thanks for sharing
that
story.
I'm just a storyteller. These guys, I mean, with Heather taking it to Floyd and at Retina and everybody else involved is the ones doing the right thing here.
Well, that's the thing. It's a great story where the community comes together to do something really important for a lot of people who are frontline workers right now.
Yep.
Exactly. So, I'm happy to be the delivery guy. You know, I'll get the credit undeserved when I show up with these at the hospitals.
Right. Well, Kevin, thanks for coming on, man. Appreciate it.
Thanks a lot, guys. All be right. safe.
Kevin you too.
From
Thank
McDermott
you.
Chevrolet and Lexus.
Chaz and AJ, Bruce Bennett Nissan News.
99.1 PLR, 95.9 The Fox. If you have a mortgage and you're worried about paying it, this is the story for you. Homeowners affected by the pandemic through job loss, furlough, or other circumstances will have 90 days, a 90-day grace period on mortgage payments and a 60-day delays on foreclosure. If you have questions or thoughts or situations you'd like to call in, we have the Banking Commissioner of Connecticut on the phone, Commissioner George Perez. Good morning. Thanks for coming on.
Good morning, guys, and thank you for the opportunity to be on your show to try to clarify the initiative that the governor worked with several banks and credit unions.
Why don't you just run through this now?
Well, as we all know, a lot of bad things are happening to good people, no fault of theirs due to this situation with COVID-19. And what the initiative we came up with was one where banks and credit unions who have signed up have agreed for 90 to give their consumers, their customers, or members, in case of credit unions, a 90-day grace period for all mortgage payments. That also includes the waiving of some late fees, early CD withdrawals.
Won't affect your credit score.
It will not affect your credit score. Good.
And then you don't get the 3 months free. Did they just get added to the length, right?
Correct. Correct.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
What do you do to become part of this or qualify?
First thing is you should go to our website, www.ct.gov.
Wait, you're clicking in and out. So the website.
Oh, sorry.
Do we have it on the card, Ash?
I have ct.gov on there.
All right, www.ct.gov.
Yes.
Go there, then what?
And there will be a link that you could click on, and it'll tell you which institutions are participating.
Okay.
That's good.
So if you happen to be a customer or a member of those institutions, then you know that that institution already is signed on board, and the process is going to be much easier. Then the other thing you need to know is what type of mortgage you have. And I'm going to group it into three groups. There's more than three types of mortgages. There's what we call federal guarantee mortgages, which is the largest number of the mortgages in the state of Connecticut. Either start off as a government guarantee mortgage or the Federal Home Loan Bank buys it later on. And then there are what they call portfolio mortgages, which are mortgages that banks or credit unions keep in their portfolio. And then there's a very small group called investor mortgages, which we could skip for now because that's very few people would be impacted by that.
How would you know what kind of mortgage you have?
We have a link that you could click on, and you follow the instructions, and you'll be able to figure out if you have a federal guarantee mortgage or a what we call
portfolio.
Conventional.
Right.
Yep.
All right. And then do you qualify, you know, which of these mortgages qualify? All?
They all qualify except for the investor-backed mortgage group.
Good.
Okay.
That work?
All right. That seems pretty simple. So you have about 60% of the banks and credit unions in the state on board. And these would be the local ones, or are you talking about like Bank of America as well, the bigger ones?
That includes the bigger ones. In fact, most mortgages. And to recently, the number one mortgage lender was Wells Fargo. Recently, LendingTree surpassed them. So, yes, Bank of America, Wells Fargo, Chase, I don't remember all the names, right. Webster Bank.
Webster's in. Okay, good. Newtown?
Don't remember all the banks by name.
Yes. We should have quizzed you. We should have prepared a quiz here for you.
Right? I have a cheat sheet and get the list out.
You have a cheat sheet.
There you go, see? Can't fool him.
All right, and then the process itself, do you have to prove that you've been affected by this? How extensive is there paperwork? Is it done online? Or you contact your bank directly?
It's going to differ from banks to banks. Some banks have much better automation, and you'll be able to go right to the website and answer a few questions, and they'll get back to you.
Okay.
Others will prefer you to call. Obviously, there's a lot of people need help, so you're going to call. It may take a little while for you to be able to get through. It's not that your bank is trying to avoid you or your credit union. It is that they're also working with a skeleton crew because they got people who are sick.
Yeah, right.
And the volume is, I mean,
well they're doing, a lot of them are doing it from home, too, so
exactly,
it's a whole different game.
Yep.
Correct.
Okay.
Correct.
Well, this is great. Did you guys put this together?
work with the two industry association, the Credit Union League and the Bankers Association. And we did try to copy, because especially with the larger banks, the super regional banks, know that they're going to be asked to do this throughout the country. So we did try to have some uniformity that they could use in multiple states. So we did, in some areas, copy what Jersey and California did.
Yeah. All right. Very good. And what if you're a landlord? Is that considered commercial property, or as long as it falls into this federal government loan or portfolio loan?
Again, we're this is government, so never an easy answer. Depends. If you have a mortgage, you have a landlord, and your mortgage is backed by the federal government, that's one set of rules. It's a portfolio mortgage, which in case of commercial mortgages, most of them are portfolio mortgages. There's a separate set of rules. And yes, there will be also an initiative for commercial mortgages to work with landlords. The caveat here is that the hardship has to be as a result of the COVID-19. It cannot be that you already weren't having difficulty prior
right.
to that. But they will work for you. They will do the same thing. They will do forbearance. Because we don't want you to evict tenants if they're having difficulty paying you.
Right. What about commercial property?
Same kind of deal.
Okay, very good.
It's not your fault that the restaurant was shut down, right?
Right.
True, very true.
And now your restaurant, who was your tenant, cannot pay your rent. Or the
this
barber's
is shop. Good. Hopefully between the bridge loans in Connecticut, the federal stimulus package, and some of these relief programs that are being offered, that'll give a lot of businesses the breathing room to pull it back together.
I agree with that. Not only businesses, but also consumers, obviously.
Yeah. And what questions are you being asked the most, and have we answered them here before we let you go?
The question is, what happens if my institution doesn't participate?
Oh, that's a good one.
Yep.
Well, you got a couple options. Call them up and try to convince them that's a good idea. Another option is you go to another institution that is participating. A third option is to let us know. And
what do you mean go to another institution that's participating? What, switch mortgages?
Well, correct.
So that would take a long time, though, right? You have to have the house appraised. There's lots of paperwork. There's a closing attorney, right? You can't do that in a couple of days.
That's correct. And that's probably more... better option for someone who's looking for a personal loan than a residential mortgage.
Right. You could always tell your lender, hey, what do you want? You want me to pay this thing a couple months late, or you want me to, you want the property back?
Exactly, yes, right. Which one's better for you?
Yeah. How about this? I stay in here and I'm not going
to... I can't say that.
Yeah, but, how about this? I don't pay your rent for 2 years. Evict me, okay?
Yeah, go ahead. I dare you.
Right, well, let's make a deal here.
The bank of commission, I can't say that.
Right.
Gotcha.
On the internet, you can read between the lines.
Yeah. Right, gotcha.
Another thing is, for the next 60 days, the court system has been impacted so much that they won't be able to foreclose on you.
Right. John in Middletown is asking, what about people who pay rent?
Well, that is not in my jurisdiction.
Right, you're a banking
but again,
commissioner.
Right, but under the CARE Act, there is some provisions for renters. And if the landlord has a federal mortgage, you know, secure, and they ask for forbearance or assistance, there's some cash that goes along with that. And one of it is you can have evict tenants for the same period that you get the forbearance. But I would suggest you talk to the housing commissioner. That's under her jurisdiction, and she'll be able to probably give you more details. Also, again, the court system has made it clear that for the next 60 days, they're not going to take on any eviction.
Right. That's good.
Yep.
Since we have you on and you are the banking commissioner, how are the banks?
The banks in general are great. And they're very strong. There's a lot of liquidity. This is not like 2008, 2010. The banks itself was the one that were hurting.
Right.
Obviously, their customers get impacted by this. Ultimately, they're also going to get impacted, right? Because if you go 1 month, 2 months, 3 months, 4 months without charging interest and collecting, at some point, they're going to start feeling the pain also. But they all have very strong balance sheets. And they learn from the past, and they all have great equity at this point.
It's funny. You could hear the banking commissioner being careful to choose his words carefully because he's the banking commissioner.
Exactly right.
Right. It's like being a big Wall Street guy. You got to watch what you say.
Exactly.
Well, not that.
You're legally bound by certain things, right? You can only say certain things.
Correct. Correct. Right. I mean, I can only tell you what I know, right? And there's no reason for me to believe that the numbers we see and the information we see is not correct. But what I can assure the consumers of this that are listening to this is that the deposits are definitely safe in the bank and in the credit union. If you are a customer of a bank, the FDIC insures your deposit for $250,000. If you are a member of a credit union, the NCUA insures your deposit up to $250,000. We'll encourage your listeners to be very careful because there's lots of scams going out there, including people calling up and saying, we're from the IRS or we're from the government. We want to make sure you receive your check, and we need to verify your Social Security, your address, your name, your date of birth. No government entity is going to call you and ask you for that information.
Right.
All right. That's a good safety tip. We'll post this whole deal up on the radio station's website. Banking Commissioner George Perez, thanks for coming on. Appreciate it.
Anytime.
All right.
Thank you for what you guys are doing to get the information out there.
Yes. Thank you.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
That's a great program, and it's going to give a lot of folks relief.
Yep.
Quick recap. Homeowners will have a 90-day grace period on mortgage payments if you have to do it.
Yeah.
And 60-day delays in foreclosures in Connecticut. You can go to ct.gov for more information. Chaz and AJ in the morning, 99.1 PLR, 95.9 The Fox. Look who's on. It's Mama G.
Mama G.
Good morning, everyone. Good morning. Good morning. Good morning, good morning. Phil. Ciao, Bella.
Yes, that too.
How are you?
Ashley, you there? Your mom just said hi.
Yeah.
Good morning. I texted with her earlier.
Oh, gotcha.
As she's in her PJ, she can't hear anything.
Yeah, exactly.
Actually, she's in her granny panties. She can't hear anything. I am mortified, Ashley. Oh, my God. Throw those things out.
Are they over her head?
Oh, my God.
Does she wear them on the FaceTime with you?
Oh, my God, please. I have to erase the image from my head, please.
Thanks, Ma.
Ashley was complaining about seeing Papa G's butt cheek in a FaceTime.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Tell him he's got to get dressed.
I'm so close to the edge, let me tell you. So close to the edge over that. It's not pretty. It really isn't pretty.
We actually called to talk to you about something pretty serious.
Yes, we did. So it is a very difficult conversation for me, and I will apologize in advance if I become emotional. I do feel the need to speak out on behalf of the individuals who have pre-existing medical conditions in this era of COVID-19. And if I can reach even one person, I'm willing to sacrifice my privacy to do so. I am a cardiac patient. I do have a defibrillator implanted in my chest, and I also have an aortic aneurysm in my chest that could, even under the best of circumstances, rupture at any time. And so my desperate pleas this morning are to the people who still don't get it. And I'm not sure I understand why they are having difficulty acting responsibly. So I would say to them, if you need a poster child for a high-risk person or high-risk people in general, please let me be that poster child for you. I implore you, I'm really begging you to please act responsibly. God forbid you end up on a respirator. I promise it will not matter how many loaves of bread or toilet paper you have on your shelf. It will not matter who won that neighborhood basketball game that you just had to get together and play because you couldn't stand one more minute in your house. If I end up on a respirator, the only thing that will matter to me is that I get to say goodbye to my family. Please, please, please be a part of the solution, not a part of the problem.
I didn't know any of this.
No, no idea.
How, are you terrified?
I am terrified, and I can't even say to my children, I haven't seen my children in 3 weeks. I get it. I can Zoom with them. I can FaceTime with them. I can't hug them. I understand. Please, please, please. I'm terrified. I am terrified. I'm terrified. I'm terrified. And everyone else who has a pre-existing condition, cancer, asthma, cystic fibrosis, emphysema, Graves' disease, thyroid issues, every one of us are absolutely terrified. I can tell you that being intubated is one of the worst situations that you could ever, ever be in. I have been intubated several times. I was not awake. It was for surgeries. I've had many surgeries. I always look up at the anesthesiologist and say to them, please intubate me when I'm out and extubate me before I wake up, because it is such a horrific situation to be in. And the worst kind of disease that you could possibly have, and I'm not taking away anyone's pain for any type of disease that they're suffering with, but the worst type is not being able to breathe. It's one of the cruelest things to have to suffer through.
What type of precautions are you taking around the house? I'm guessing the kids can't come over.
No one can come over. My kids can't come over. I had to tell Chelsea the other day, who wanted to come over. I said, I'm sorry.
Can't do it. You can't do it.
I love you, but I'm sorry. I can't. None of my friends can come over. It's okay. We'll get together. We'll have a huge party when this all passes.
Right.
Hopefully, God willing, it will pass soon if everyone behaves. I'm doing the best. Honestly, it may sound funny, but I'm trying to social distance from Papa G. He gets a cough, I run the other way. He sneezes, I'm terrified. I haven't been out of the house since March 15th. My cardiothoracic surgeon from Hartford Hospital, the chief of cardiothoracic surgery, they called me and said, do not come to this hospital. I had an appointment for them to evaluate. I get evaluated every few months. Don't even come out. Don't even come out. My cardiologist, don't come out.
How are you getting groceries and things that you need to the house, Papa G?
So he goes out very, very rarely because he's respectful of the fact that he can't bring something into the house.
Right.
And all I have to say to him at the very beginning is, listen, if you think that you're untouchable and you're going to go out of this house, I said, and you come and bring something into this house, don't even come to visit me at the hospital. He didn't know that he couldn't come, but I said, don't even come to visit me at the hospital. So my kids have said, we'll go shopping for you. We'll leave it at the door. There's some grocery chains, although you have to wait 3 weeks, that will deliver food.
That's if you're lucky,
your house,
3 weeks.
If you're lucky. If a package comes to the door from Amazon or one of the other stores, it stays outside on the stoop for 2 days because you don't get perishable food that way. But you know, if I needed vitamins or I was trying to order a supply or something and I was able to find it, the box never comes in the house. It gets opened outside, but that's after 2 days. The mail stays outside for 2 days on the front doorstep.
It's terrifying.
It's terrifying, but it's terrifying for the average individual, for those people who are compromised. And let me tell you, you know, no one is untouchable. No one is untouchable. And the only thing that you're going to want if you get sick and you need life support, the only thing that you're going to want are those people that are in the emergency rooms, those doctors that are sacrificing themselves, those doctors that are dying from COVID-19. Those are the only people that you're going to want, and you're going to beg them to help you. Nothing else is going to matter. Nothing else is going to matter. So please, 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 once again, please, I'm begging everyone. The only way that this is going to stop is if we act responsibly. And please say to yourself, is what I'm doing now responsible? Is what I'm doing right now responsible? And again, be part of the solution, not the problem.
All right. Thank you, Mama G. Appreciate it. Be well.
You guys stay well.
All right. You
we'll
too.
We'll talk to you soon.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Holy crap. Wow. I mean, that's... It's a very terrifying way to live, that you're one cold away from dying.
Yeah.
It's very scary for me to think about. I try to help any way I can.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You just got to stay positive. Mm-hmm. Holy crap.
Yeah.
Mama G's the best.
Yeah. Well, like she said, if giving up her privacy keeps one person from doing the wrong thing and going out and play basketball, then that was worth it.
Exactly.
Jazz and AJ, Bruce Bennett Nissan News.
In yesterday's briefing, Governor Lamont had news on new rules at the grocery store.
I just did another one of the executive orders. This one, we just reminded people at grocery stores that we're not going to allow more than 50% of capacity. So if your grocery store has maybe capacity stipulated for 100 or 150, you can't have more than 50 or 75 in there. We stipulate very carefully that no more than one family member should go in there to do the shopping. We're trying to get the lines so you know what is 6 feet back when you're in the cashier's line. We're asking people, don't use cash, use credit card. And more importantly, if you can get things delivered, home delivered and the such, especially if you're a senior, we don't want you to go out shopping at all. Although, as you know, a number of our grocery stores have said at least they'll have special shopping hours, 7 to 8 in the morning, for just those over 60, those who are the most vulnerable.
And then came the shocking news.
I spent a lot of time telling you that almost all the fatalities are related to people who are over 70 and over 80. But we have a tragic milestone in Connecticut. Probably the youngest person ever to die of COVID has died here in Connecticut. That baby was less than 7 weeks old. And it just is a reminder that nobody is safe with this virus. And for those young people who think maybe they're a little more invincible, think again. You're endangering yourself, you're endangering your family, and you're endangering everybody you come into contact with.
I got to tell you, in a news cycle where you see our brothers and sisters in New York looking like they're in a horror picture, and they're right down, you could throw a rock to New York City.
Less than an hour away, yep.
That's one that just stops you in your tracks.
Very sobering.
That was in Hartford, and the baby was brought into the emergency room unresponsive, and they were unable to revive the baby. And that is not a good distinction to have. The youngest death due to coronavirus. The governor's news conference was held at a recently set up field hospital at Southern Connecticut State University. And at that conference was Major General Francis Yvonne, Adjunct General of the Connecticut National Guard and Commission of the State Military Department. And he's on the show now. It's an honor to talk to you, and thank you for your service,
yes,
General.
Thank you.
Hey, good morning, and thanks for everything that you both are doing.
It was nice to see you there. It was great to see. I needed that. I needed to see someone who can take charge and get things done. And your National Guard unit, man, you had that field hospital up in, 5 hours?
That's right. It's a federal medical station that our Connecticut Air Guard offloaded on Tuesday afternoon. And our 102nd, so that was the 103rd Fighter Wing, the Flying Yankees out of Bradley. Their unit just returned from an overseas deployment this past about 6 months ago.
Wow.
And yesterday, the 102nd Infantry, the headquarters, the regiment is right in New Haven. Their unit, who has had two tours in Afghanistan, has another upcoming mission, had the main effort of setting up the hospital in conjunction with Yale and the Department of Public Health.
What is it like for them? They go over to Afghanistan to fight a war for this country, but to be here is a whole new game, right? And what does that feel like?
So as guardsmen, we have a dual mission. We have a federal mission. That's when the president calls. We go overseas wherever we're needed around the world. And our state mission, we work directly for the commander-in-chief, our governor, and this is exactly what we train for. This is the homeland support part of our mission. It's formally called defense support to civil authorities. You know, many people say, hey, listen, this is what keeps me up at night. Well, I'll tell you, here's why I sleep at night. I'm blessed to have the 5,000 men and women of the Connecticut Army and Air Guard and our militia members who raise their right hand, committed to something larger than themselves, and they're on the front lines combating the pandemic as we speak.
Tell us about this hospital. What's its capacity, and what's it going to do?
So it's 200-bed capacity, working in conjunction with this Southern and Southern Connecticut, and particularly Yale. And what basically the whole purpose of this is we're trying to build medical surge capacity for all the hospitals around the state. In this case, this is for Yale, so we can give them flexibility to open up some beds that are needed for the most seriously ill, the most acute. It gives them an ability to decompress. So if you are sick but not ready to go home, if you may have had some COVID-like symptoms and you're not ready to go home, you'll go to this decompression facility and, again, give the hospitals flexibility to take care of the most seriously in need.
And what else is the Guard doing for the state help us with the
yesterday we hit our high water mark. We've got about 250 soldiers and airmen on. We've been helping with PPE distribution, logistics, warehouse support. I've got a great medical planning team that's embedded with Department of Public Health and the Emergency Operations Center. I'm lucky to have some civilian soldiers who in their other lives are scientists at Pfizer and things like that, and they're bringing their civilian acquired skills and their military skills to help us get after this problem set.
Oh, that's awesome.
That's amazing.
And you guys are looking for volunteers?
We're always looking to build new and acquire new members of Connecticut's home team. Basically, we're the first responders for the state, the 911 for the state. And when you're out of Schlitz, you call a Guard, and that's us. And we're always looking for new members to raise their right hand and enlist to become members of our great organization.
Well, there you go.
See?
Is there an age limit?
I think the age limit is 41, 42, and with everything that's going on, some of the standards and age limits have actually been increased.
Oh, that's great. We'll link up to Connecticut National Guard on the radio station website. We can't thank you and your crew and all the National Guardsmen for doing what they do. This is, when you think of the National Guard, you might think, like a weekend a month, a couple weeks a year. It's kind of like, they're going to Afghanistan. Yep. They're going all around the world.
It's
and
real.
now they're getting us ready for this.
See?
Yeah. And where are the next hospitals you guys are setting up?
So we're also working at Western Connecticut State University today in Danbury in conjunction. So this is really a whole of military department approach. So the governor's foot and horse guard have also been heavily involved in. We've got three mobile field hospitals that the Department of Public Health owns. Foot, Horse Guard, and our National Guard members have set up capacity at St. Francis, Danbury, and also Middlesex. Next week, we look to push to and establish another mobile or a hospital type setting at Western Connecticut State University. And we're working to try and really get ahead 2 to 3 weeks out on building further capacity for the hospital surge.
Can't thank you enough for your service, your commitment to the country and to Connecticut. Thank you, Major.
Thank you. I got to say, it seems like it was over years ago that you were here for the media challenge. I believe, Chaz, you had the most push-ups.
You did.
So we're looking forward to getting back to a time when we can do that all over again.
That was fun.
I almost got to the top of the rock wall.
Yeah, you came close.
I was just about to touch it,
yep.
Then came off.
Yep.
But yeah, that was what a great effort that was, and your people were so great to us.
Well, I appreciate that. You had me worried. I was ready to send a team this morning. You were doing something with coffee and hand sanitizer. So let me know if you need.
I looked at your resume. Our vice president of the market, Kristen, sent me your resume, and oh my God, it is so AJ. It's just so long and distinguished.
That's awesome.
We're lucky to have you.
Yep.
We're lucky to have good people and good soldiers and airmen that will do anything for the citizens of this great state of Connecticut. So thanks for all your efforts on getting the word out. This is unprecedented times, and your guard is ready.
And anytime you need this show to as a loudspeaker, please feel free to use it.
Yep.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
Thank you, Major General Francis Evon, Adjunct General of the Connecticut National Guard and Commission of the State Military Department. He got in front of that microphone yesterday. I'm like, yeah, okay, this guy's in charge.
Yep.
Not a problem. Everything's fine.
See?
They got it under control.
You feel better now.
Yeah.
It is reassuring to see someone like that.
Yep.
In charge of stuff.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
When a hospital with 250 beds goes up in 5 hours.
Mm-hmm.
That's impressive.
Yeah. Yeah, it is.
To say the least.
Because I was impressed when China was building two hospitals in like a couple of weeks.
Right.
We're putting them up in like 5 hours.
So, ha-ha.
Boom.
There's your efficiency.
Not that we want to do that,
no.
But we have the ability
we're
to
just
do
saying,
that.
We
thanks
can do it.
To these men and women who sign up, and these are volunteers.
Yeah.
You know, they're
incredible.
They voluntarily sign up for this.
Yeah.
And 1 weekend a month they're giving up, and then 2 weeks a year. But this is serious. And then some of these folks who go, they're over in Afghanistan.
Yep.
They just get back. Okay, what's next?
Right.
Where are we going now?
Exactly.
What are we doing now? Hospital?
Yep.
No problem. And what a great guy. He remembers I did the most push-ups.
You're impressive.
What's that?
You're impressive.
I don't think so. I don't think I was impressive, but it was good that he remembered.
It stuck out his mind.
Manchester Mayor and SCSU Athletic Director Jay Moran is on. You were at that press conference yesterday.
I was. Good morning.
Hey.
I was. Pretty impressive, the general.
Yeah.
The National Guard overall. I'm going to give you one little stat. On Tuesday, it usually takes us an hour with student labor to cover our gym floor. It took the National Guard 8 minutes to cover that gym floor.
Wow.
Wow.
8 minutes.
What happened on Tuesday is they took apart the gymnastics dance floor. They were so impressive. They started a human ladder and put it upstairs. It was all plywood.
You're kidding
me. I couldn't be more impressed with the National Guard's efforts.
Wow.
You know what we should have done? Or not we, you or someone.
Filmed it.
You make a video and then you speed it up and you just watch.
The Benny Hill music?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, not necessarily
Flight
Benny
of the Bumblebee
Hill,
or something.
But,
okay.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Wow.
Yeah, pretty impressive. The work they've done is pretty impressive. And, you know, Yale New Haven Hospital and my athletic staff was there to help out. We had to take everything that belonged to us and put it in storage. And there was a lot there. And the combined effort and within you know, two working days, you have a hospital set up. It's kind of sobering. It's like a mass unit. You think you're at war, and we are at war, obviously, with this virus.
Yep.
What? Southern Connecticut gets the call, and then your boss calls you and says, "Okay, get ready." Or
yeah,
how did that happen?
They had already offered the residential halls for some things, and then we got the call late last week from our facilities assistant VP of facilities saying, "Hey, listen, they want to use the field house. Can you guys be here tomorrow?" And of course, I've been working at home for over 2 weeks. I couldn't wait to get out of the house. So we were down there and met with the state last week. And then all weekend, they kept saying, "You're on call." My staff came in and cleaned up some equipment. And then Monday morning, we were all in. And, you know, by yesterday, we have this hospital all set up and they'll be ready to go by Friday, by tomorrow.
Unreal. And
it's amazing.
You know, I know we spoke to the governor and everyone's telling us that the next couple of weeks are going to be very, very tough, and we should peak out in Connecticut, hopefully in mid-April, and then, you know, then we peak out, and then it's, you know, then that's the peak.
Right.
If you look at what happened in New York, as this thing was coming, folks were saying, "Oh, it's fine, it's going to be okay, go about your business."
Yeah.
I think we can look at the mistakes that are being made, but we could also look at what we're doing right here.
Yeah, it's true.
And we are building hospitals before our hospitals are at capacity.
Exactly, right.
I think we're doing a good job. Don't
a defense
you?
Here, yeah.
Yeah, we're doing an awesome job. And I just want to give a plug to our staff here in Manchester. I mean, Governor Cuomo was saying the other day they couldn't control the crowds at the parks and the basketball courts. And 2.5 weeks ago in Manchester, we put snow fences around our playscapes and took the basketball rims down because it was a beautiful day and all the kids were out. And we took a lot of grief for it, but 2 weeks later, we looked like we were ahead of everyone else. And I think you're right. To take on anything to do with this virus, we have to be ahead of everything.
We could, you know, we could look at the federal government or look at other places and say, why don't we not have this or have that? And you could go to the store and ask the manager, why don't you have toilet paper? Well, we never thought it would be this.
Yeah.
Right? Exactly. So we could do that, or we could say, what can I do to help this situation
right
now?
Yeah.
Exactly. Right. Or you can add your office manager saying, where's all the soap?
I can tell where it's going to go.
Hey, I wish we were talking about geese, guys. I wish we were back talking about geese.
You're right.
This crazy virus. I've listened to Phil's meltdowns. Those are more enjoyable than soap. And
well, that's the thing that, you know, this shocks us into realizing all that other stuff we thought was something was nothing.
Think about where we were a month ago.
Yeah.
I mean, the Army Guard comes in with these boxes, and I've been watching so much Netflix. All I'm thinking is there's got to be bombs in here, you know, these guys in fatigues. And, you know, we all are watching these crazy movies, and then you think you are in a movie. You really think you're in a movie. It's and I'm glad. And my boy, Mama G, boy, did she put it in perspective, huh?
My boy, Mama G.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, that was a tough call.
It was.
She's the best.
Man, if you don't stay in your house after talking to her, I mean, I'm afraid she'll whip you in line. Listen, I've got the AD office, mayor office downstairs. My wife has her third grade classroom upstairs. It's crazy. This is how we work.
You have a lot
going
on.
I have to ask for permission. I have to raise my hand to go to the bathroom if I go upstairs.
Well, I'm thinking Manchester really settled down once the Chuck E. Cheese closed.
Yeah.
That's really.
I wish we were talking about Chuck E. Cheese.
Yep. That's been the source of problems.
The focal point.
Manchester's in the news, it's usually something at the Chuck E. Cheese went awry.
And that buffet restaurant.
That buffet place.
And the buffet restaurant fighting over for the. Yes.
The crab legs.
The crab legs. You guys have a great. I'm glad you. Everyone remembers Manchester in such a great way. Thank you.
We love Manchester. Thank you, Mayor Moran, for coming
on.
Thank you,
guys. Appreciate
it.
Wash your hands, AJ. Bye.
All right, Jimmy Copley, Live Nation Concert, got on the show, and we're going to just unplug from the news of the day and talk about favorite albums. Call yours in, and we'll all talk about it. Could be good, could be not so good.
Right.
But, Jimmy, it's like asking, you know, who's your favorite kid?
Should be easy.
Do you have a favorite album?
Well, you know, I always say a favorite album, you have to like every cut on it. That is a requirement. It can't be an album you don't. And as much as I love side two of Abbey Road, I'm sorry, Maxwell Silver Hammer doesn't do it for me, so I have to move aside Abbey Road. Although, you know, side two of Abbey Road is my favorite side of music. But when you get songs like Maxwell Silver Hammer, you go,
yeah.
I don't like that. So I would say there are two that absolutely stand out for me. One is John Barleycorn, Must Die. I think every song by Traffic, every song on that album
really?
Is great. And Asia by Steely Dan. Those would be the two that I would say. You can't, I don't care where the needle drops.
Yeah.
Remember that, old people? The needle?
Yep. Yeah.
Wherever the needle drops, I like that song. And I think that's got to be a requirement. It can't be your favorite song on an album. It can't even be your favorite side, like it is with me with Abbey Road side two.
Right.
It's got to be. I mean, there are no sides to albums anymore, so we're speaking more classic rock, in my opinion. But,
what is on John Barleycorn Must Die?
Well, John Barleycorn Must Die starts with Glad and Freedom Rider, which if somebody said, what are the two songs that you think fit together best than any two songs, that when you hear the end of the first song, you expect the next song to be the next song on the album.
Right.
John Barleycorn Must Die is it, in my opinion.
Wow.
I mean, Glad into Freedom Rider is to me, I expect it all the time to be exactly, if I hear just Glad and I don't hear Freedom Rider, I think I have not heard the whole song.
Right.
There are two different songs.
It's like you feel ripped.
Yeah, I feel ripped. But and there aren't a lot of songs on the album either, so that makes it a little better because, you know, it's got six songs on it. Glad, Freedom Rider, Empty Pages, side one.
Oh, I love Empty Pages.
Me too. Side two, Stranger to Himself, sung by Jim Capaldi, which is really nice to hear him sing every once in a while.
Right.
Then John Barleycorn Must Die, and then Every Mother's Son. End of story. Those are the six songs on the album.
Wow.
It's 35 minutes of wonderful, wonderful music, in my opinion. You
nice.
Can't beat it.
And what's happening with Steve Winwood? Any touring with him?
He was touring. He's going to tour with Steely Dan this summer. So hopefully that will all stay.
Oh, what a great mix.
Yeah, it's very cool.
Nice? And the artists of your two favorite albums.
Yep.
Yes, you're right.
Together.
Wow, nice. I didn't even put that together. You're absolutely right.
Ta-da.
Which was playing Connecticut.
Let's go to
I think it might be playing Mohegan Sun. I'm not sure.
There you go, see?
That's when you know anymore. Jimmy's been busy. And he's sure if one of his shows.
Right.
Right.
I'm in the midst of moving or dealing with 78 concerts right now.
78.
Right now we're moving around.
Damn.
78.
That's a lot of balls in the air.
Joe the Barber.
Good morning, everybody. Good morning, Mr. Koplik. How you guys doing?
Good, Joe. Thank you.
Dandy.
I love that lineup, the Steely Dan and Steve Winwood. That's going to be great. I'm missing the live music, man. My album of choice is Masters of Reality, and I love all the cuts on it. And my second one,
can't
like
pick
a
second.
Album,
no just, second.
Just the one.
Oh, no
okay.
second.
Right.
Just
I was
one.
Go no, live
don't
album.
Be here all day.
Don't be an album hog.
I was going to go to a live album.
No.
Live doesn't count. Live's like the greatest hits. They don't count.
Oh, that's true.
Okay,
there goes
it.
Mine.
Well,
that's true.
Okay. There goes
all
mine.
Right, Joe. Masters of Reality. Besides Masters of Reality and Sweetleaf, what's on that?
Children of the Grave. That's the other like decent song.
Right.
Got
right.
airplay, I guess.
I love the sound of that album. All right, we'll leave it at that.
Yep.
Beef Man?
Good morning, everyone.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning, Jimmy. My favorite is Queen 2. I'm showing my age, but I think every track on that was great. I thought that was a great album.
What's on that?
Queen was a different. That's Ogre Battle, Seven Seas of Rye, March of the Black Queen. It's their second album, obviously, Queen 2. It's a they were a different band back then, Jazz, as you remember, right?
Right.
This is before all the harmonies.
Well, they still had harmonies, but they were, you know, Brian May did a lot more riffs and stuff. It was just I thought it was an interesting album. Love that album.
All right.
Yeah, that's it. You're right. That's more of a Brian May album than a Freddie Mercury album.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah,
which is cool. If you like the guitar and you like that sound, I think it's a real good album also. I'm with you on that.
Does that have Stone Cold Crazy on it? No?
No, that was Sheer Heart Attack. That was
yeah, oh, okay. I like that one.
Yeah. That's a great song.
My
nobody seems to play Queen anymore. I'm sorry, go ahead.
All right, Beef Man, thank you.
Yep.
My favorite Queen album is News of the World.
Oh, yeah.
Every
yeah,
song on that is great. And there's a song called It's Late.
Oh,
and
great
it
song.
Does not get enough airplay.
That is a great song.
Yeah.
Yep.
This is Queen, too. Doing the backwards thing.
Yeah, there was no hit on the album, I don't think.
In fact, that's Beef Man. Beef Man would find the biggest piece of garbage and then say, that's my favorite. I think that's when you know you're a fan. Like, he wants to hear what nobody else is listening.
Exactly.
He's a true, true fan of Queen.
He has a bet with somebody right now.
All right, we're talking best albums with Jimmy Koplik, Chaz and AJ in the morning, 99.1 PLR, 95.9 The Fox. Chaz and AJ in the morning, 99.1 PLR, 95.9 The Fox. We have Jimmy Koplik, Live Nation Concert, got on the show. And we thought since there's no breaking concert news, Jimmy's rearranging dates for 78 different shows, a lot of balls to be in the air and juggling.
Exactly.
We thought, well, let's talk about our favorite album of all time. And Jimmy said, and this made it easier for me to decide, that you can't use live albums. Because they're greatest hits albums.
Yeah, because that's just putting the best songs in general on it, one album.
Right. Although there are some artists that their music came alive in that setting, like Peter Frampton comes alive, Bob Seger, Silver Bullet, Leonard Skinner. Their songs really, because they were really bar bands.
Right.
And when you hear them live, you're like, oh, that's...
I get it.
That is good.
Yeah, exactly right.
Good.
Well, you know what's interesting about the first two that you mentioned? Were they were not greatest hits live albums. They were just live albums because we didn't know their hits.
That's true.
And I think we could be flexible on that one because Peter Frampton, I knew a couple of his songs. And when that double album came out, I went, oh, my God, he's got so many great songs. And there were a number of originals on that, too.
Right.
So that might fit your rules.
Okay, yeah, because that one is one, and then Johnny Cash, live from Folsom Prison, is like my favorite live album.
That's a great one.
Not only the music, but the story arc, and that the audience, they're all prisoners.
Yeah, they're a captive audience.
AJ, do you have a favorite album?
Motley Crue, Too Fast for Love. Love for Records. That's a great one. Every song in there is fantastic. Yeah. And it's raw crew, like back in the early days before they, did a lot of work on Vince's voice and overdubbed and yada yada.
Yeah.
It's all just a great album from start to finish. Too Fast for Love is a fantastic
album. Too Fast for Love.
Yep.
What else is on that?
Merry Go Round and Round. It's just such a great album.
The album that broke them was Too Young to Fall in Love, right? My favorite album by them is Dr. Feelgood.
Right. But Peace Your Action's a great song on that. Come On and Dance is pretty fun. Too Fast for Love, On with the Show.
Oh, this is one that Jimmy's going to like. Let's go to Dave in Oxford. Dave.
Hey.
Hey. Favorite album?
Allman Brothers, Bill Moore East.
That's legitimate. That's legit. It's a great choice. Great choice. That's the album that turned me on to the Allman Brothers, actually.
But there are hits on
Absolutely,
that,
Absolutely. The best ever.
Yep.
There are hits on that, though, right?
They didn't have hits before that. I mean, what would I consider a hit by then? Ramblin' Man, which was later.
That was a top 10, right? Was that number one?
Whippin' Paul's, Hotlanta, Memory of Elizabeth Reed, Statesboro Blues, Stormy Monday.
Just don't think, in my head, those aren't hits. Now, maybe I'm wrong on that. I just don't think those were hits.
Right.
They were not a very popular band at that point. Phil Maurice made them popular.
Ah. Yep. Phil, you have?
Jimmy, been going to your show since you started, man.
There you go, see?
Keep coming. I love your music taste. I'll be standing next to you probably at the show and less than 6 feet away.
There you go, see? Yes.
That's
Absolutely.
Right.
Absolutely.
Thank you, Dave.
Stay healthy, brother.
You too, brother.
You too. That's a great choice, boy. That proves the live album could be legitimate.
Yeah. Was there ever another white vocalist with a more soulful voice than Greg Allman?
No, I don't think. I can't think of one offhand.
Yeah, not offhand.
Although I think Bob Seger gets close.
Yeah. And then you think, and he's on stage with Dickie Betts.
Right.
Dwayne Allman. It's just nuts.
Exactly.
Nuts.
I watched the brothers on TV, and I thought Warren Haynes did an excellent job singing lead at the Garden that night.
Oh.
He sang all the Greg songs.
And it sounded great?
Yeah, he really sounded great, Warren. Yep.
Andre and Derby is picking The Number of the Beast from Iron Maiden.
Wow.
Great album. Great album.
They had one album before that that got them some airplay on PLR, and then that Number of the Beast was a smash hit. Like, every song was getting played.
Yeah.
John from East Haven, Steely Dan, Royal Scam.
It's okay. I think they think it's one of their best albums. I've spoken to Donald Fagen about it. I think he thinks it's one of his best.
Oh, really?
I hope so.
Yeah, I think Pretzelogic comes next for me, personally.
That's a good
after
album.
After Asia.
My sister had that.
Is that with Reelin' in the Years?
No, Reelin' in the Years is their first album.
Yeah, I think Ricky Don't Lose That Numbers on that one, Pretzelogic.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yep.
Gina and Madison, Frampton Comes Alive.
Good choice.
Great album.
Yep.
Roger and Enfield, Who's Next?
You know what? There could be one of my top fives because there's not a bad song on that album.
Not a bad song on that album.
Nope.
Not a bad song.
There's no way I would take the needle, and move it to the next cut.
Right.
On that. Now, Who's Next is a great choice. I hadn't thought about that.
And if you think about some of the lyrics, that the just one line, like, meet the new boss, same as the old boss. Lines from Teenage Wasteland. Mm. There's so many iconic rock lyrics on that one album.
Three of their biggest hits are all on that one album. So it's Bob O'Reilly, Behind Blue Eyes.
Do you have all the tracks listed? Go through the top. Like if you put down side one, track one.
Bob O'Reilly.
Okay.
The first thing
and
you
that's
hear.
Where it starts.
That's the first thing you hear.
Yeah, an anthem.
Unreal.
Yep.
Bargain.
Great.
Love Ain't For Keeping.
Yeah.
My Wife.
Yeah.
The Song Is Over.
Yeah.
Side two, Getting In Tune.
Boom. Yeah.
Going Mobile.
Yeah, we're back on side two.
Behind Blue Eyes.
Yeah.
And then ends, Won't Get Fooled Again.
Which at that time was the greatest rock and roll scream ever.
Unreal.
One of the greatest songs ever and one of the great live songs I've ever heard. And, you know, I guess it's sort of appropriate, but that was an unquestionable highlight when The Who came to the Garden when 9/11, the 9/11 concert.
Right, you were at that show.
We won't get fooled again. Boy, we won't get fooled again. They were great.
Yep. So you saw, what was your first Who show in Connecticut? Do you remember?
I don't remember the first Who show. I can tell you that I remember the first Who show at the New Haven Coliseum, which probably was the first Who show that was in Connecticut. It was right after the Cincinnati tragedy in 1979.
Oh, yeah.
I think it was early December in Cincy. It was like the 8th or something, and our show was a week or two later. And we had this mayor that just did not understand rock music at all. He used to be a police chief.
Oh.
He really hated rock music, actually. And made me open the doors up 2.5 hours in advance so nobody would get crushed.
So there wasn't a rush.
Yeah.
And I tried to explain to him that we sold reserved seats only. Cincinnati was general admission.
Yeah, that's why.
There'll be nobody outside 2.5 hours in advance.
Right.
He didn't care. I'd open up 2.5 hours in advance. He knows what he's talking about.
Right.
So, of course, he came down there 2.5 hours in advance. And for an hour and a half, nobody was there.
Right. Nothing to see here, folks. Keep moving.
Nice job, Mayor. Talking to Jimmy Coppock, Live Nation Concert God, and we're talking about our favorite album. And Jimmy put some rules out there. Can't be a live album with a bunch of hits on it.
Yeah.
Not fair. And the other rule, and I think the most important rule, is there can't be one song on there that you don't love, right? That you would pick the needle up.
And you drop it anywhere.
And you would move the needle over that song.
Yep.
Or skip it.
Exactly right.
Or hit shuffle or move.
Whatever it
from
takes.
From that song. It has to be. You love every song on the album.
Hit nuke.
Yeah.
That's what makes it the best.
Yep.
So I almost went with Billy Joel's The Stranger. And what
Me
I
too.
Love about that album is the record company was starting to hone him down into a hit machine. Because he has Moving Out is the first track. But he's still pushing back, and they're giving him the room to breathe to do Scenes from an Italian Restaurant.
Great song.
Epic song.
Yep.
That is part of the DNA, the fabric of America.
Yep, exactly.
You hear that song, and you feel American. You feel you could live in Texas, and you could feel like you're a New Yorker.
There you go. Yep. Vice versa.
And you could not be Italian and feel Italian.
Right.
Great song. We'll Live Forever. And I love that whole album, but there's like one dog on it. Everybody Has a Dream at the end. It's a 6-minute song. I'd never sit through it. So, boom, that album's out from that one song.
Damn.
Yeah. And then I thought, oh, I know. I'm going to go with another. See, I'm a hit guy. So I'm not going to pick like an album no one's ever heard of. So then I thought, okay, Bruce Springsteen, Born to Run, another one. This is great. So first track, Thunder Road, 10th Avenue, Freeze Out, Night, Backstreets, Born to Run, She's the One. And then there's Meeting Across the River. I'm like, son of a bitch.
Oh, that,
like, I would have went with that one. But then there's Meeting Across the River.
Yeah. Those first six, though.
And then right after that is Jungle Land.
Yep.
This is a masterpiece.
Yep.
This is an American masterpiece.
Almost
like,
a complete masterpiece.
That one song. Son of a...
Now, here's where taste matters, because I agree with you. I really love Meeting Across the River. I think it's really pretty, but I don't like Night.
Oh, really?
Not crazy about Night.
Oh, I love Night. That's a great song.
Can you pull it up, Phil?
Night? Sure.
Night by Bruce Springsteen.
Oh, I love that song, yeah. It just flows nicely. It just sounds like the production's perfect on it. I love it.
Yeah.
Yeah, see, I love Meeting Across the River. It's pretty.
Yeah.
Really
it is nice.
Song.
It is nice. My friend overplayed that song over one summer, and I can't hear it again.
All right. This is one of those songs. It would be a great song if there weren't all these other great songs, because the record company is like a bank. They're like, we're only going to buy you so much studio time.
Yeah.
And let's see. These are the hits. These are the songs we're going to work on.
Yeah.
And then the song like Night is like, yeah, just take an hour, record this song, and then let's move on. We have Jungle Land. We have Born to Run. We have a whole deal to work on.
Yeah.
But the great thing about this album is the story behind it. The record label was about to drop Bruce. He had already recorded Born to Run. And with the rumors of him being dropped, he released Born to Run to radio. And before the album was even recorded, it became a hit.
See?
And then he was able to record the rest of the album. And there's your history there. And then there's, we almost didn't have Bruce Springsteen.
Exactly.
But that album didn't make it for one song. And so I went with the Eagles Hotel California. Easy pick. Every song's iconic. Every single track. Hotel California, New Kid in Town, Life in the Fast Lane, Wasted Time, Victim of Love, Pretty Maids All in a Row, Try and Love Again, The Last Resort. Boom.
As good as that album is, and I agree with you, when I went to see them live, I rediscovered The Last Resort.
Yes.
Oh, my God, do I love that song. And I forgot all about that song.
Ah. Such a beautiful depiction of America.
Well, and the orchestra was amazing on that song.
Beautiful depiction of America, but also, you know, highlighting its faults.
Yep.
Its flaws. Yeah. And the orchestra and the choir and really, Glenn Frey said it was, you know, Don Henley's finest piece.
Yep.
Wow.
See?
I feel like I talk too much at the end, and people tune in to hear Jimmy.
Right.
So I apologize.
No, I love hearing this. This is great. I'm tuning in to listen to you.
Yeah, no, I tune in on Thursday to listen to Jimmy, and I ruined it. So, all right, Jimmy, we'll talk to you next Thursday.
You got it, guys.
All right, brother.
Have a good week.
Man.
Stay home. Stay healthy.
Yes, you too.
Jazz and AJ, Bruce Bennett Nissan News.
99.1 PLR, 95.9 The Fox. All the things you would expect today in the news are what you expect. They're there. 429 new confirmed cases, so more cases.
Yeah.
More deaths. We had a horrific one yesterday announced by the governor at his press conference that a six-week-old baby died of coronavirus in the Hartford area.
Yeah.
Southern Connecticut and WestCon get field hospitals. We had the National Guard general on an hour ago. That'll be up as audio on demand later. Insurance companies giving a grace period. No payments necessary for 60 days. More information on that. You can look anywhere, probably Fox 61. And we saw a really great story with Fox 61. Jimmy Altman did it. And we thought, oh, this is inspiring.
Yes.
It's a Connecticut company that switched gears and is helping with the coronavirus pandemic. Hey, Jimmy.
Chaz and AJ, thanks for having me on. Challenging times, but always good to talk to you. And yeah, what a great story of just two businesswomen on what you could call the ultimate pivot, right? I mean, you got people who are making Halloween masks and changing their entire business model to make silicone masks close to the idea is it would be close to the coveted N95s now, right?
Yeah.
And a little Connecticut ingenuity seems to really be taken off now and get noticed. So that was I've known Lee Radzwan, who's the main character in this story. I've known her for years. She worked in Hollywood as a special effects artist.
Oh, wow.
She did makeup. She teaches a class at CCSU in special effects makeup. So she's fascinating. She has a prosthetics background as well. So all these worlds coming together. And, you know, when you need it most, these folks put their best foot forward. And the idea is that maybe thousands of these will start being produced by the end of next week. That's the hope. John Hopkins is looking at it. Hopefully, if you didn't see the story, you can go on Fox61.com and check it out. I know Phil put a tweet out about it as well. But it's amazing what they're doing and how dedicated they are to trying to help with one really, really stark problem that we have.
That is I love this story.
Yeah.
This is waking up saying, well, this is bad. Can't change that. What can I do to help?
Exactly.
And and this is what everyone's crying for. Like, honestly, they need the frontline workers. So how many masks will they have and how fast, you know, give us some numbers. Do we know?
So the idea is that if they've got general laboratories, I think they're around you guys in your area, Meriden. If all goes well and they're still working with the final prototypes, that they could start making thousands by the end of next week. Lee's probably listening. She's a tribe member. She's a big fan.
Hi, Lee.
She just texted me. You know, certainly if you wanted to find out even more, I'm sure she'd be happy to come on and talk about all of this. But that would be the idea, that they'd start in mass production by the end of next week.
Oh, yeah. Let's get her on tomorrow. I'd love to talk to her.
It's awesome. Yeah, I'll give the number to Phil when we're done here.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, it would be great. Look, it appears that there are some United States senators taking note of her work now, too. I mean, this is really starting to take off. And, man, we have no time to spare. Right, Chaz, AJ?
Right.
There's
yep.
no time to spare.
No.
Like, this needs to happen yesterday. So that's what they're doing. This is, you know, 0-60 in 3 seconds here. And that's what we need. We need smart people who are willing to put everything aside, to pivot their business model, and get out there and help us. You know, sort of much like General Yvonne said, you know, his guys are gonna need this too.
Right.
Yep.
Right. You know, it comes down to it. This question's been asked a lot this week. Wouldn't it be better if everyone wore a mask? Right. It would cut things down. People who don't even know they have it would cut things down. And they don't want to say yes, that would be better, because it would take the masks out of the hands of the people who are on the front lines who need it the most.
Exactly. Really, really
are in the most danger.
Exactly.
The doctors, the front lines, the nurses, EMTs,
leading the fight,
police, firefighters,
yep,
patients.
Exactly.
But yeah, the more masks, the merrier.
Yep.
Right.
It's true. There's no doubt that these masks will be earmarked for frontline workers, for hospital medical staff and that such. And again, you wish that we had stockpiles of this, but we don't. Bandanas are not a good option,
no.
guys.
No.
So, I mean, and that's sort of what we're going to get into if people like Lee aren't there,
right.
And her partner Kim, her business partner. There's two women, two Connecticut businesswomen. This is what they're doing.
Yep.
We did a story last Friday on a group out of East Hartford. They make pizza boxes. Your pizza box?
Yeah.
And they've made the shift, and they're making the plastic mask shields.
Okay.
Right. So not the masks that you put over your face, but like the shield.
The shield part. Yeah.
They're making 30,000 of those a day now.
Damn. How did they go from making cardboard pizza boxes to plastic shields?
So yeah, that's a good question, Chad. So that's one of the things they're known for, is making the pizza boxes. They're called Ardent, and they're out of East Hartford. But they also do. They've got a die cutter for plastic, different plastic items that they make as well. And this was an easy shift for them. So they totally changed everything, and this is what they're doing. And the son delivers them to hospitals himself. A little over a month ago, we were talking about the Super Bowl, and AJ was, you know, testing out different condiments with his junk, and here we are talking about companies doing all these really miraculous things at a moment's notice. So it's been very challenging to do this job, as you guys know, over the past couple of weeks, and it will continue to be. But at the same time, I think extraordinarily rewarding and inspiring to see the spirit and ingenuity of some of the folks that we have here in the state.
These are, you know, I think you have more Emmys in your future.
I think so.
You know, these are great. These are the stories.
I want a Marconi. I want a Marconi.
Oh.
What are the chances? I told you guys.
I want one too.
I've told you guys. It's the trade is out there.
It went trade, huh? Okay, like how many
that
Emmys?
Thing up. It is really coveted. Like I know it's not. It doesn't have the cachet because they don't have TV shows about it,
right.
and the statues aren't as cool. But I did like my research on it. Like you, get, those are impossible. Those are impossible to get.
Really,
we were very very lucky.
Very lucky.
But Jimmy, so what? Are you looking for more stories? Do you have any leads? What are you working on next?
Anyways, it looks like today I will be with, you know, Top Chef Tyler Anderson, a restaurateur. He's got a couple of restaurants in our area.
Phil knows him.
In your
Millwrights.
Area.
You've heard of him?
Absolutely. Millwrights. So we're going to go to Millwrights. Tyler has a program now where he's just one of the good guys, and he is feeding all of the out-of-work restaurant workers.
Oh, wow.
He's created something called Family Meal Night, and he just cooks for them and sort of like, you know, getting everybody together, cooking up, using his talents and just doing good for those. And there are so many restaurant workers, as we know, who are no longer working, who've been laid off. So that's his initiative now to do his part. And, you know, he's hurting too.
Yeah,
I mean, like, how much can you make when your
right.
only business for five restaurants is through takeout and delivery? I mean, you can maybe tread water, maybe, but, you know, you got rent and you've got dining rooms that are empty, but he's still doing this. And as in the culinary world, there are a few guys in this area or maybe the country who are as talented as this guy.
When will that story air?
Probably today at 4 or 5.
Oh, we've no been, kidding.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
so you got all the footage. You're done.
No, we're going to go. We'll go there. I'll go there in an hour, and we'll talk to Tyler. We keep, sadly, you know, we keep our distance. You know, mm-hmm. we have a whole protocol. We don't go inside anymore. The directives from our corporate office are really strict
yeah.
as to where we can go, what we can do.
Okay, I have a question. You yeah. have a microphone. Do you put it on a big boom stand, a big
we
stick?
Do.
Yeah, okay.
We do. We do. It, you know, it's... Look, Chaz, it is a different world. For a guy who's been so used to doing television in, you know, as creative a way as we can, we have to think a different way now because the top priority is safety, and our company's really, really all about
our company's
safety.
Been great, too.
Yeah,
like
absolutely.
Ahead of it, where it seemed silly. And then a couple days
right.
later, you're like, wow, they were really ahead of it.
Yeah,
is there anybody with Fox 61 that had to just be benched because they were?
To my knowledge right now, no. There might have been one or two reporters who sort of did sort of like what Phil did because maybe they were away.
Gotcha.
And to be extra cautious, they
right.
stayed home.
Right.
But to my knowledge, nobody... has come down with, thank God, has come down with the symptoms. So, you know, and we're trying to do everything we can to stay safe. And you know, kudos to the folks at my station who turned this place into 100% remote.
Are the anchors
a week?
Are the anchors doing it from home?
Yeah, they all
they
are.
Everyone.
They all
yep.
are. Yeah. It's amazing what they've done in this short amount of time. And nothing I think any of us could have ever, I could have never, you know, we thought we had seen everything, you know. I never thought I would see anything like
this.
This
is a weird one.
After seeing all these anchors
yeah.
and weather people broadcast from their house, I realized my living room sucks.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Everybody's house is nice. Oh, my God.
I'd be like, I compare houses, too, all the time.
I'd be on, like, on a Ford bench seat with, like, an IKEA table next to me and a beer.
Oh, that's
yeah,
funny.
Yeah, no, there's definitely, there's an article in New York Times about that today, about how, you know, through the world of Zoom now and Skype, everybody gets sort of this inside look at what, you know, what people's houses look like.
And, they're all nice.
You know, what's in the background and everything.
I'm like, how much are they paying these people?
Keep in mind, though, you're also showing the best room.
Okay, well, I don't have a room like that.
So your best room.
Crop things.
I'd be in the garage of my car.
Right. I was just going to say, yeah, if you just go by, you know, go by your car, the green one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll just sit in the car and broadcast.
Yeah,
there you
nice
go.
And
can't
easy.
Lose.
Yep.
All right, we'll be looking for that story tonight. We're going to try to get those mask people on the show tomorrow.
Oh yeah, I will. I'll pass it on to Phil. Lee Radzwan, one of the greats of all time. I've done a number of things with her over the years, and it doesn't surprise me that she's out there doing something this heroic. It's just a matter of how fast can they get it? Who's going to get it out there? Who's going to help them? And how many thousands can they make? Because it needs to be done yesterday.
These are great stories. These are the stories that we love. It takes our mind off of the bad, and it focuses it on the good. So thank you, Jimmy. Appreciate it, brother.
We appreciate you guys. Anytime you need me, we are here. And definitely appreciate everything you guys are doing to amplify
that. Thank you.
Next time you come on, we're going to ask you about what your favorite album is.
Exactly.
You know, should we do it right now?
All right. What do you think?
Are you ready, Chad?
Yeah, you already know. This? You don't have to think about it?
No, you know what it is. It's going to be Asia, Heat of the Moment.
Oh, look at that. Jesus.
That song, not an album.
Right, yeah.
I don't even know, but I thought you were setting me up there. We can talk about it, but I thought maybe, you know, Border on Springsteen would be up there, and you absolutely could make an argument for Tommy, the Who.
Wow, okay.
Yeah, that's a good one, too. Yeah. All right, Jimmy. Thank you, brother. Appreciate it.
All right. Always great to be on, guys. Stay safe.
You too. Yep. Jimmy Altman, Fox 61.
It's a weird deal, you know, because we're all talking about coronavirus and
top of mind. I'm just listening to this song, and I realized that I learned what the word disease means from this song.
Huh.
Chaz and AJ in the Morning, 99.1 PLR. I remember exactly where I was, sitting in my dad's car.
Right.
Listening to the radio. I was probably 4, and I heard that line in the song, and I said, what does that word mean?
Disease.
And my brother explained it to me.
Right. What do you say?
Yeah. He said, it means when you're very, very sick. It's something you don't want. I'm like, okay, so something I don't want. Okay, so it's like the opposite of ice cream.
So I thought it'd be like...
It's the opposite of a lobster roll.
Yes.
Okay.
Exactly. We love lobster rolls.
Right. We want lobster roll,
yes.
Do not want disease.
No, exactly. In that order.
Chaz and AJ in the Morning, 99.1 PLR, 95.9 The Fox. Captain Mike from Lobster Craft is on the show.
Yar.
There.
Gentlemen. Yar.
Captain Mike.
What's going on?
Hey. By the way, you know, when I see, like, home of Connecticut's best lobster roll, I'm like...
Yes.
You know, when you see something like that, you're skeptical. You're like, eh, anyone could say that. But we've tried it, and I could personally tell you...
Oh, yeah.
It's all true.
Yes, it is.
Delicious.
Every word.
Yeah. Let me play a little segment from a video that's on their website.
I'm Bobby Parrish, and this is Flavor Nation. We're bouncing all over this country looking for the most iconic dishes in all 50 states. And right now, we're in Connecticut, seeking out the Connecticut-style lobster roll. It's buttery, it's hot, it ain't cold, with mayo like their buddies in Maine. And the Lobster Craft truck is going to hook us up and show us what it's all about.
Well, that's when you know, when they start right there with your truck.
Uh-huh.
So it's like, that's all you need to know.
Bing, bang, boom, yep.
Yep.
Absolutely.
Well, I thought to talk about this because we're doing, you know, open for business and we're talking to restaurants that are still open. And I thought you'd bring the truck up here, Captain Mike.
I would love to bring the truck up there if they would let me, but I would be another person in the building.
Oh, see?
You guys can't.
Oh,
I'll rappel down the side of the building.
Right. He's doing it for our own good.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
For your own good.
Thank you. Thank you. Don't be so good to us next time.
I think at this point, if you're driving that truck down the highway, you could be hijacked.
True. Very true.
Taken hostage.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Truck full of lobster rolls.
Yeah.
There's a target.
Exactly. Right. Yep.
She's in a secret location away inside with the door closed.
Gotcha.
All right. You guys are on Monroe Street, Sono Train Station, and you're open for business. So pick up and delivery.
Correct. We actually, it's the eastbound side of the South Norwalk train station. We're actually in the train station. I built a great little restaurant in there. Well, with a bunch of seating, which doesn't matter right now, but it's a great little spot, and we're delivering and doing a pickup service right from the station.
How far are you delivering?
We're doing, it's about 5 miles, right? It's Darien, South Norwalk, Norwalk, and Westport.
Hmm. Nice.
And soon, hopefully, maybe even if I get the health thing going today, we're going to open up our Fairfield location, and we'll be delivering out of there, hopefully by next week.
Smooth. Ooh. That's awesome, man.
Now, when you say pickup, right, how does that work? How many people are going to be standing around, and how, you know, how's that been? Explain that to me.
There's only room for two people in the customer waiting area, 6 feet apart. So if you come to the station, you can order right online on your phone. You can call, or you can just come to the door and order and then go wait in your car. The good news is, of the 1,000 parking spaces at the train station, they're all free.
Right.
And then, plenty of parking at the train station right now.
Now, do you bring it out to the car, or do you text someone? And say, really?
Either way, I have a small bullhorn that I'm not afraid to use.
Really?
I love this guy.
I love him.
And call your name, or I'll bring it to your car. Whatever makes you the most comfortable. I'll put it on your hood.
Nice.
Or hand it to you, you know.
Al fresco. Nice.
It's up to you.
Yes.
Yeah.
All right. Because I'm thinking Saturday's a nice day. People are going to want to get out, go take a ride to Sono. Like if you're living on this end, listening to PLR.
Right.
Take a nice ride down the shoreline, get out.
Exactly.
Go get some lobster rolls.
Exactly. And they're awesome.
And you could do it in a safe way.
Exactly.
Not herd it up in a group of people.
Yep.
And you're still doing the right thing. Yeah, you're doing your part.
You can park a few spots apart from each other.
Exactly.
I actually have one employee who's going in early in the morning and running the steps at the train station parking garage.
Oh, really?
Because it's empty.
Rocky theme.
Right.
Yeah.
To work up the appetite for the lobster rolls.
Right.
Or walk them off.
How's it been? Has it been busy, not busy?
No, it's been pretty quiet. Yeah. People are still trying to figure it out, I think. You know, between stocking your shelves a couple weeks ago with everything and just not really knowing how to do it all yet, we're still a little bit slow. But it's picking up.
Good. That's an important thing.
Absolutely. Well,
I think that's the key. I think everybody, you know, we all are starting to hunker down. That's good. But also you can go out, get some great food.
Yeah.
Support the local economy and restaurants. And do it in a safe way.
Yeah, in and out real quick.
Where you're still doing your part,
right?
But you're getting out on a nice day and getting some lobster rolls. So I love that it's at the train station. Yep. Million parking spots.
Yep, exactly.
My Captain Mike said you could park every other parking space.
Exactly, right.
You could call,
at least.
Order from your phone. Mike will bring it out.
Get out to you.
Yep.
Right. Or he'll do the bullhorn.
Either
okay.
Or.
Jimmy, we're ready for you.
Get your lobster roll.
That's right. Listen, you could even park sideways. You know, we got a bunch of other food as well that we're serving, but you could have some fun in the parking lot.
That sounds good.
I'm not going to tell anybody.
Oh, Ashley, do you have the menu available here? This is Captain Mike from Lobster Craft. Lobstercraft.com is the website. He's at the Sono train station. Anything catch your eye?
I'm seeing just lobster rolls, to be honest. That's what you're known for, right?
That's what we're known for. That's what we're known for. I mean, we put on the menu for the guys. We put an amazing chicken wing, hot chicken wings.
Nice.
Buffalo chicken wings.
Cool.
I got a Philly cheesesteak. I got burgers and dogs. But, you know, that kind of stuff. Listen, when you went shopping a couple weeks ago because you were afraid, you stocked your fridge with burgers and dogs and chicken and everything safe. But at the end of the day, you got to remember, man, even though you're inside, you still got to eat well.
Exactly.
Yep.
And so treat yourself.
Yeah. And
get a lobster roll for spring.
I like this for, you know, I'm thinking this weekend.
Yeah.
Take a ride.
Yeah, exactly.
Get out.
Saturday's beautiful. Yep.
Right. And you can do it in a safe way. You're not endangering anyone.
Exactly.
You get some good lobster rolls. Captain Mike brought Lobster Craft, the truck, to our Chaz and AJ Food Fest.
Yeah.
And he was nice enough to, he wasn't serving the lobster rolls,
right.
But he made them for us because he wanted us to try them.
Oh, my
it
God.
It was amazing. How do you run us through it real quick?
Yeah. Well, I'm a commercial lobsterman, so they're my lobster.
There you go, see?
You know, and it matters. So we get a fresh lobster in their roll, and then we have our buns made for us every morning at 4 a.m. We don't use the old-fashioned, you know, the potato bun. It doesn't get soggy. We've actually come up with a great way to deliver it to you where the butter is in a small cup in the box.
Right.
So it doesn't sog out. And then when you get it home, you put the butter in the microwave and you pour the hot butter over the roll.
It's like getting
perfect for
first hand.
You stuck this out. This is why he's a captain.
Exactly right. Not a first mate. He's no exactly. Gilligan.
That's right. He's not Gilligan.
No.
He's the captain.
He's the captain. He's a skipper.
Captain Mike.
Right.
Oh, wait, I totally forgot that you're...
You just called me the Gilligan?
No. You said you're not Gilligan.
No,
the Gilligan.
No, you're not Gilligan.
Right.
Oh, all right.
Right.
Yeah.
He was worried. Working for me, but it's not me.
Okay. Gilligan?
I almost got the hook.
He's ready to sink an army of lobster on you.
You almost had to walk the plank for a second there.
Yeah, don't look at the crabs.
Yeah, it was a little hard to hear.
Yep.
Yeah. Oh, no, we would never say... We said you're the opposite of Gilligan.
Right, don't be crabby.
Okay, good.
Yeah. All right. I think we'll see you this weekend, my brother.
I believe so.
Yeah. Well, let me ask you this now.
Outstanding.
If somebody was not having a gathering of more than five people, but just say, like, would you bring that truck out or that truck can't go out now?
I can bring the truck out, but it's going to be pretty expensive for just five people.
Gotcha. Right.
Or four.
Or eat a lot.
Or four plus me because, you know, there's a minimum.
Gotcha.
Right. Right.
Unfortunately, we have a 50-person minimum. So as long as you're writing a check, I'll drive the truck anywhere.
Right.
You'll see.
Just a weird question because it's such a weird time.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you never know. You might get one of those folks around your end, you know?
So
like,
yes.
Yes, we'd like the truck to come out. Me and my wife would like lobster rolls.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, if I go.
I'll be right over. So.
I will not be that person.
Yeah, no.
I'll be out in the parking lot parked sideways.
Exactly right.
So
I'm doing donuts.
All right, Captain Mike, thanks for, thanks for coming on and thanks for doing what you're doing here.
Guys, I appreciate your time. Thank you very much. Listen, stay safe. Wash your hands, please.
Thank you, Mike. And, you too. You stay safe.
We'll get through all this and see you guys soon.
All right, brother. You see me this weekend.
Excellent. We'll be there.
Thank you.
Oh, my God.
Captain Mike, Lobster Craft.
Oh, those are so good.